Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
I had a habit of praying every night before I go to bed. I pray all the time now because I need guidance all the time.
That's the lesson of history, that those who stand with Israel will be remembered through all time. Those who are against Israel, written off to history.
The church has taught for millennia that these promises made to Israel really had their ultimate fulfillment in Christ.
Americans will oppose health care reform if it takes away the coverage they now have for things like abortion, contraception, and for women's reproductive health.
There has been a consensus at the congressional level that taxpayer funds should not be used to pay for elective abortion.
I think it's safe to say this subject is no longer taboo, although it still has a certain amount of shame attached to it. Let's be honest. We're going to be talking for the next couple days on Issues Etc. with Pastor Todd Peppercorn about Christians and depression. There are several positions on this. One is kind of the purely clinical, and that is, look, depression is a chemical problem in the brain, and the solution is chemical as well, and it has a pretty clinical diagnosis and prognosis. Now, Christians can never look at anything in a purely clinical way. We also have to look at it biblically, theologically as well. And so there must be a broader view of depression than simply go to the doctor and get a pill, although that may well be a part of the solution. We're going to be talking about depression today. How can Christians suffer from depression? It's Monday afternoon, July the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. You can give us a call for the next 2 hours. And on this first subject, if you'd like to call anonymously, happy to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. You can also email questions or comments to us right here in the studio. talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. A little later in the program, Cantor Philip Magnus will join us. We're going to be talking with him about youth and worship, part one of a three-part series with him on worship. A little later in the second hour of the program, we'll be discussing, your comments. Some audio open lines for the whole second hour, but we'll begin with the comment line. We have several to respond to. And then I want to know what you think about, this isn't just issues of male and female, but let's put it that way, starting with the female. There are only two major denominations in the United States that have withstood, by and large, the temptation to ordain women to the pastoral office. The first one is the obvious one, and that is the Roman Catholic Church. The second one, the Southern Baptist Convention, 16 million strong, but shrinking, oddly enough. And some people say that the reason it's shrinking is because they have restricted the role of women and not allowed women to be pastors. We'll hear some news on that, and then I want your response. One of the responses in that news piece, by the way, I'll just give you a little advance warning, comes from a megachurch pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention who says that 50 years from now, the Baptists will look back on their restriction of women in the pastoral office the same way that they look back on slavery today. So do you think we will ever have a megachurch pastor who is a female? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll also talk a little bit about sexuality in the clergy from a Roman Catholic perspective during audio open lines in the second hour of the program. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He's author of the new book. It is a great book, by the way. I recommend it highly. I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Pastor Peppercorn, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be here.
Is depression real?
Of course it's real. There are millions of people that suffer from depression today, and I think that you could go back through history and find many different people, some famous, not so famous, that that probably did suffer from some form of depression, although it may not have been called that. A long time ago, it was called basically melancholia, something like that. But it's real. There are physiological causes, chemical causes, imbalances in the brain. Certainly there are sort of situational causes, how we respond and react to stress or different things in our lives. And I think that there are also spiritual causes, very real attacks that Satan uses to try and gain a foothold on the life of the Christian. And those three all kind of intersect together to make this a vicious and dangerous thing for anyone.
How would you respond to someone who says, and this has been, for various reasons, kind of a typical response from a Christian perspective on depression, even before we called it depression?
Sure.
Come on, pray more, read your Bible, go talk to your pastor, and cheer up.
Well, I have had that told to me as well. I myself suffer from clinical depression. I've been on disability for depression, so this is sort of a road that I know pretty well. And I've had variations on that same kind of get over it, cheer up, pray harder kind of theme. And I think that what's going on there is that Christians easily fall into this trap of believing that the faith equals a certain emotional state, that being a Christian equals happiness. Now, obviously, there is great joy in the faith and knowing that we are saved, et cetera, et cetera. But one cannot equate the faith with an emotional state. Jesus wept. There's a whole range of what goes on there. But because of that, because we so often kind of oversimplify the faith and want to make it into simply an attitude, how we look at life, how we look at other people, and not looking at it as trusting in the God who died on the cross and rose again from the dead for our salvation, that very trust is a gift in the face of, and maybe contrary to, all of our experiences at the time. If we don't understand it that way, then something like depression is really going to rub the wrong way, because it's going to look like this person doesn't have faith. That why are they so down when Jesus died for them? They should be happy. They should always be happy. But there's something about that that is incredibly attractive to Christians. And when you're faced with the fact that this is not the way that it is on earth, either in your own life or looking it into the lives of your friends and relatives and neighbors, it can be profoundly disconcerting, and I think it sort of causes a mental or a faith breakdown where you can't process what to do with this, because it just doesn't make sense. It's called the theology of the cross. That's sort of how I look at it.
How long, Todd, was it coming for you, and when did you know that something was seriously wrong?
How long it's coming is probably a hard question. I can look back and see kind of glimpses and periods in my life, even beginning in high school 20 plus years ago, where maybe it was going on. There's certainly a history of clinical depression in my family, my mother and others. So there's probably some genetic tendencies there too. Some more in college, but I would say that it really, really hit pretty strong about 5, 6, 7 years ago, when I was the pastor of a congregation, when I was involved in a lot of different parachurch organizations, and I was running myself absolutely ragged, trying to find happiness and fulfillment, I think, in doing things rather than in resting in Christ. And that just continued to spin, so that although I couldn't have put a finger on it until very shortly before I was actually diagnosed, probably not even until, which would have been January 2006. So 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago.
Is part of it, leading up to that point, I'm wondering, if part of it kind of a self-imposed or imposed by the depression itself, kind of a blindness to your own condition, your own futile attempts to cope with it, an inability to see how serious things really are with you in an objective way?
I think that that's certainly part of it. A part of depression, in my view, is a sort of a severe turning in on yourself, which is sort of good Lutheran talk, and we would equate that with sin. Sin is in curvatu se, it's looking in on yourself. And depression makes it so that you're less able to see outside yourself. You dwell more on your own emotional state, on your own failures, on your own problems, but you're not capable, certainly not on your own, of sort of getting above all of that and recognizing that this is not the way that it has to be. This is not the way that God intended me to live, that this is not right. You can, and it may take years to sort of creep up to that point where you really truly believe that that there is no way things can ever get better, that you're surrounded by darkness, and it's impossible to see it's impossible to see beyond it. You just can't, and so something has to happen, or someone has to sort of get through that fog and that darkness to help you recognize that I'm sick and I need real help, and it's not simply going to be a matter of trying harder.
We're talking with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. How Can Christians Suffer Depression? Part one of a three-part daily series with him on Christians in Depression. It's Monday afternoon, July the 27th. This is Issues Etc. Here's your chance to win a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Email 10 friends the latest Issues Etc. YouTube video, and we'll register you to win a gift certificate from Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce the winner on August 28th. Just go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, copy and paste the video's embed code into an email, send it to 10 friends, relatives, or fellow parishioners. Be sure to send a carbon of your email with your name and address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Tell 10 friends about Issues Etc. and tune in on Friday, August the 28th to find out if you're the winner of a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Go to issuesetc.org, click promote, and send the Issues Etc. YouTube video to your friends.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
Well, I was checking our Issues Etc. Facebook fan page. We got about just a little over 1,250 fans there. Thank you very much for everybody who signed up. We'd like to get to 2,000. That's another good reasonable goal. Go to Facebook.com, www.facebook.com. If you don't already have an account there, a page of your own, it's very easy to sign up. Learning curve is pretty slight. And when you get there and you're all logged in and registered, all you got to do is search for Issues Etc. You'll find our fan page and just become a fan. You'll find photos of Friday's live remote. By the way, if anybody was there taking photos, I took some photos before. I saw some people taking photos during those 2 hours of remotes at the Lutheran for Life National Conference over in St. Louis. If you took photos, post them to your Facebook page. We'll find out about it, and we'll be able to add those to the photos as well. You'll be able to interact with other fans of Issues Etc. Facebook.com and search for Issues Etc. Let's try to get to 2,000 fans there at the Facebook fan page for Issues Etc. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, author of the new book, I Trust to Endark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Our email address on this Monday afternoon, talkback@issuesetc.org. And our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. You tell a story in the book, Todd, that I found especially poignant and painful to read because I can't imagine doing this myself, even in the best of health, even in the best of mental well-being. But after your mother had passed away, you say that you bullied your way into the pulpit, basically, to preach her funeral sermon, not so much for the sake of the family or for the sake of really preaching the gospel. You say the whole thing was a lie. You were being super pastor. Talk a little bit about that, those moments, and how you were coping at that time.
Pastors always, in my view, have a tendency to want to be able to do everything and to be all things to all people. There is this huge temptation on the part of pastors to sort of present themselves as super Christians, as always faithful, always ready, always, you know, always have prayer in hand, will travel. And I found myself at that point, that was about a year before I was diagnosed with depression. I found myself at that point not really wanting to address the grief of my mother's death and simply be a son and a husband and a father, because it was too painful. And the easiest way for me to do that was basically to put on a mask. And the mask that I knew that I was able to put on was the pastor mask. So if I was able to convince myself and others that this is really what would be best, this is what my mother would have wanted, then I could do it. And then instead of having to actually talk to people and grieve and kind of be a part of this process that her family was going through, I was able to basically hide for 2 days and write a sermon. It worked great. Except for the fact that it was a lie, and as I said in the book, I apologize to my mother's pastor for that. I still feel bad about that, but that's a part of what you do in depression, is that you find sort of coping mechanisms, ways of trying to cover up what's going on, because you don't understand what's going on. You know it's not quite right, and you don't really want to address it. So if you can put on this super pastor mask in the case of pastors, or it could be something else. We all have a vocation. We all have roles that you have to play, sort of regardless of what your physical or emotional state is. And it's very easy to sort of immerse yourself in those at the expense of your own health. And I don't think that that's really what vocation is about. Vocation is about serving where God has placed you, but not at the expense of killing yourself, essentially, or hiding from what else is going on. So I think that that's a real challenge. And many people, the majority of people that suffer from depression are undiagnosed, and that's why, is because you learn how to play these games. You learn how to have these tricks, and frankly, it may be necessary on a day-to-day basis in order to function. But the problem is that that makes it nearly impossible to get to a point of starting to heal because you're not admitting even to yourself that there's something else going on. Now, in all likelihood, there are people around you that know very well that something's not right. They just don't know how to get in, and they don't know how to try and figure out how to help. And that's really the problem.
Okay, in that connection, you write about not being able to stand being around your wife and kids, not because of them, but because of what was going on with you, and at the same time, not being able to bear being alone. Talk about the isolation, the self-imposed, and this kind of, I have to be by myself, and when I am, it just makes it worse kind of a thing.
Yep. A part of what's going on is very often with depression, you're not able to handle any kind of physical stimulation, and so being around people, being in the midst of conversations, especially small children. All of my children are under 10, where you just sort of have a constant talking, a constant conversation, a constant moving. It was physically painful, so that I found myself virtually making up illnesses or injuries or whatever in order to try and escape from that interaction, because I didn't recognize what was going on in my own brain, that my brain could not handle processing this. So noise, light, all this sort of stuff just became nearly impossible. But at the same time, so I get what I want, and I'm able to spend 15 hours a day in bed watching movies on my computer or whatever. And all that does is that creates this almost overpowering sense of guilt and of self-loathing and of anger, that, you know, what kind of an idiot am I that I can't even get up and take care of my own 4-year-old daughter? You know, how sick is that? And you start to spiral into this circumstance where you don't know how to get out of it. You want to get out of it. You know that you shouldn't be alone, but you need to be alone. But you feel like you're sinning, and this is really where the spiritual element comes in, and where Satan is so hard at work in using the physical characteristics of depression, and sensitivity to stimulation is just textbook depression stuff. There's nothing unusual about that. It's quite normal. But Satan can use that to play on your guilt, and he can make that so that rather than recognizing that you're sick, you know, nobody would fault you if you had a broken leg and you weren't able to play with your kids. But because there's something going on in your mind, then somehow or another, you should be able to just kind of get over it or tough through it. And Satan uses that to try and convince you that this is because you're a bad person, because you're not really a Christian. You're a faker. You're a lie. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to everybody else. Well, wow, that is a cycle that nobody wants to be in, let me tell you, because it is... I think I would say with great confidence, it is impossible to get out of that by yourself. You just can't.
We talked early in our conversation about how the pray harder, read your Bible kind of solution simply doesn't touch upon the scope and the nature of what depression is. But if you would, in these last few minutes here, before we close this part of our conversation, address the proper role of God's Word, His sacraments, the life in the church for someone who is suffering from and recovering from depression. About a minute and a half, Pastor Peppercorn.
All right. The key element and the absolute liberating element about all of these things is, first of all, recognizing them as receiving what God has to give and not as doing something that you're obligated to do. That's number one, and just kind of have that continually, gently, kindly, carefully brought up over and over again, that this is God giving these things to you. This is not you doing something. But also recognizing, especially with prayer, that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, that the Spirit prays for us and Christ prays for us always, whether I'm able to verbalize the prayer or not. And so those prayers are continually surrounding me. Even when I can't get outside of myself, Christ does come in. And in the same way that word is there, I found myself feeling like I was unable to read the scriptures, but at the same time, these words of scriptures that had been sort of ingrained into me for decades from my parents, among others, still floated in there, and my pastor brought these words to me.
About 10 seconds.
When I couldn't go.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He's author of the new book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. We'll post information about this great new book on our website under the on-demand page, issuesetc.org. Todd, talk with you tomorrow.
I'll look forward to it.
Tomorrow, we'll continue our conversation on depression, talking about debunking the super-Christian myth. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you were ever going to contact your senators or congressmen this year, now is the time. Barack Obama and pro-abortion leaders in Congress are pushing for a government-controlled health care plan which would force abortion down the throats of Americans. It would use your tax dollars to fund abortion on demand, and it would mandate coverage of abortion in your health care plan. It would force doctors and other medical professionals to participate in killing unborn babies. Whatever you're doing today, please take time to contact your senators and member of the House. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. Reaching them is just a click away. Demand they oppose any health care plan that doesn't specifically exclude abortion as a benefit. It's hugely important. Do it today.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.